Welcome to the Livingston's Herald. It's the quarterly magazine of Livingston Church, and this is issue number 81 for March 2019.
And we start with the letter from the editor, Catherine Reid. Welcome to the March edition of the magazine and to the 20th anniversary of its publication. By now, most of you will have heard that this will be the last one that I will edit. I feel that it is now time for me to step down from this role, but I hope and pray it won't be the last of the Livingston's Herald. Many things have changed from those early days. Back then, most articles were handwritten, and I had to type each one into the computer. Once all the articles were put together to form the magazine, we took them to Our Dear Church, where we ran off 300 copies of 20 pages on a risograph. Memories of changing ink drums and sorting paper jams come flooding back to me. Quite a number of you became part of the folding and stapling team, and I found I could always rely on you when I regularly phoned round to get the group together to put the pages in order to complete the magazine. Now, almost all contributors send their articles via their laptop or iPad. Once the magazine is compiled, it is sent electronically to the editor of Kirkgate to be run off on their state-of-the-art printing machine, complete with staples. So much easier all round. In recent years, our magazine has been put on the internet by Ross Glover, and there, of course, you've been able to see the pictures and photos in glorious colour, which does make a big difference. Also, because of the failing eyesight of several members, Anne and Alan Cochrane took on the task of making a sound broadcast recording, which can be found on the church internet site. It has been a rewarding 20 years for me, and I hope all our readers have found the Livingston's Herald interesting and worthwhile.
The Minister's Letter. Dear friends, there was a man who, whilst caring for his sheep, saw a bush in the desert on fire. The fact that the bush was on fire wasn't particularly unusual, but the fact that the flames did not consume the bush was. Curious, he approached the bush to see what was going on, and the Lord God called him by his name. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. And there began a conversation which changed the man's life forever. God wanted to give Moses a position of leadership, a man who had been born an Israelite, enslaved by the Egyptians, and raised by an Egyptian. He had fled, having killed an Egyptian, and was now in the wilderness on the periphery of his people. Yet God called him to lead the Israelites out of captivity to the promised land. Moses wanted to be able to say to the Israelites who had sent him to them, "I am who I am," or "I am that I am." The Hebrew language allows for both, but it doesn't change the name. In fact, this is the basis of the holy name for God, Yahweh, which is YHWH. And in the Hebrew, incorporates the phrase for "I am." God says, "I am who I am, and He is the God who is." That is why we are exploring the God who is, to further understand who God is: holy, righteous, grace, faithful, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God still calls people to leadership, and He grants individuals gifts, which we find listed in various parts of the scripture, especially in 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4:11-13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And he still calls people to be his church, and he still calls them from the periphery, as well as from the centre of the church. We were exploring just this at the Pastor Renewal Conference at the end of January. Who was God calling? Where was he calling them from? What gifts was he giving them? Were they apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, pastors, or teachers? What does that mean for the church? And what does that mean for each of us in our own context? I also felt that God was confirming for me the four priorities which I was thinking through. They are, first of all, looking at working towards the union, What needs to be done? How do we do that? When do we do whatever it is that needs to be done? And reviewing the buildings. The other priorities lead to the union. 2, looking at aspects of worship, whether on a Sunday morning or at another time on another day. 3, building a discipleship culture and developing disciples, looking at the mission which will flow from discipleship. And 4, developing the work with the schools. By the time you're reading this letter, some of the elders and I will have been at the Presbytery Conference in February, looking at radical ways to prepare for the future of the Church of Scotland. There are too many congregations, too many buildings, declining membership, not enough ministers, not enough money. In his book, The Face of My Parish, Tom Allen pointed out that in 1952-53, there were only 37 students who entered first year in the 4 Church of Scotland colleges, and that he had been told that situation may become worse. He said, "I am simply concerned to point out that so long as this shortage of clergy exists, the task of the ministry, as it's presently conceived, is impossible to accomplish. We do need to be radical and we do need to change radically. For me, that means taking time to stand on holy ground, in the presence of God, understanding who he is and what he's calling us to do for today and tomorrow. In relying on God, we need not worry. After all, the Lord our God is the one true God, and in him we trust. May God bless you and yours. Dave."
The Guild Report from Dorothy Pennell. It is hard to believe that Christmas was more than a month ago. At the time of writing this report, we have had our annual January meetings without speakers in case of bad weather. We began with a New Year's lunch at Seamill House Hotel, which was enjoyed by all. The viewing of the DVD from the Guild gathering at Dundee last September, which let those of us who were not at Dundee see a shortened version of the day. There was an interesting talk by the moderator, Susan Brown, whose claim to fame is that as minister of Dornoch Cathedral, she married Madonna and Guy Ritchie and baptised Rocco. The highlight of the gathering, as always, was the singing, and we joined in as we watched. One person from each of the 6 Guild projects spoke for a few minutes about their topic, and we could see their enthusiasm for their choice. This year, we at Livingston are supporting the Sailor Society, and on March the 12th, we will be joined by the High Kirk and Ardeer Guilds to hear from Dr. Pam Cairns about Seema's project in India. We celebrated Robert Burns on the 22nd of January in our usual way, and a good afternoon was had by all. Our last meeting in January was our bring and buy sale in aid of the projects. Now we are looking forward to spring and Easter with a varied programme with 4 different speakers, the discussion topic, a concert with the Rural Revellers, not an easy title to say, music with an auto harp by a lady from Saltcoats, and our AGM and Easter service. This year the World Day of Prayer will be on Friday the 1st of March at 2 p.m. in Ardeer Church, and it is hoped that many of you will come. The service has been written by the Christian Women of Slovenia. Finally, our annual daffodil tea will be held in the church hall on Tuesday the 16th of April at 1:30 p.m. If you are interested in any of the subjects of our meetings in the next few months, please join us. You will be made most welcome.
And now some information from Louisa Pennell. The Theology Conference. On Monday the 14th of January, I had the opportunity to attend the Scottish Church Theology Society Conference on the Spiritual Nurture of Children. It was held in Peebles Hydro for 2.5 days. There were various speakers: John Sullivan, a professor of Christian education and theology in England; Stephen Fishbacher of Fishy Music; Ailsa Hill, a bereavement support worker from Richmond's Hope; and the Reverend Roddy Hamilton from Bearsden New Kilpatrick, talking about Spill the Beans. John Sullivan was very interesting, and although I didn't quite understand all the theology, his message was essentially about teaching spirituality. To do this, honesty, humility, humanity, and hope are all needed. He made the point that to sustain these, you need conviction, courage, and compassion. Stephen Fishbacher worked with the Scripture Union for many years before branching out on his own. Based on the East Coast, Fishy music has become well established, visiting schools and groups, teaching young people through music and song. He also has written new songs with groups of children, some of whom have troubled backgrounds, and has compiled some of the songs into a CD, which I have ordered. So watch this space. New songs will be learned. Ailsa Hill of Richmond Hope spoke about bereavement counselling for children through different circumstances who have lost a family member. This is based in Edinburgh, but there's also an office in Glasgow. I was given ideas on how to talk to children in many different ways regarding death, and I also purchased some books to help. The Reverend Roddy Hamilton did a talk called Bow Ties Are Cool, which are based in the Doctor Who stories with a bit of Harry Potter thrown in. He has developed Spill the Beans, which is a resource which helps you journey through the scriptures with stories. This was very entertaining and informative. It was definitely for older children and teenagers, and I am sure will be helpful in the youth ministry. I attended the conference unsure if it was going to help me in my role as Jam Club leader, and to my surprise, I got so much more out of it and found some new friends too.
Dorothy Pennell writes about the new youth group, and we hear again from Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to equip his people for his works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Following on from the success of the Summer Mission Youth Nights, it was decided to pursue the idea of forming a Three Churches youth group. A planning group was formed consisting of adults and young people from the three churches. Their task was to explore the possibilities of a group and organise and plan events. These meetings have been very productive, with the young folks devising a plan for the year which uses the premises of all three churches. They have come up with a wealth of ideas for activities and games. The new youth group have met very successfully once a month for the past 3 months, and there are 18 young folks registered. They have participated in team games, sporting activities, challenges, quizzes and chats, all led and organised by the young folk in the planning group, assisted at times by the adults. They are certainly displaying the skills and talents of being leaders of the future, which is so encouraging for the oldies. If you know of anyone who would like to join the group, please speak to Alexander or Fraser Chisholm. We hope and pray that the group will continue to develop and flourish in fellowship together, leading us into Summer Mission 2019.
And now a regular feature of Prayer Thoughts from Andrew Tomlinson. I like to imagine a space created by God that he wants us to fill. From time to time, we will approach fulfilling God's wishes, but often we only occupy a small part of our God space. This line of thought was prompted by a number of things, preparing a service being one. I was looking at the idea of call and found this challenging verse in Jeremiah chapter 1 at verse 5, where God tells Jeremiah, "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my spokesman to the world." Putting two and two together to make an unlikely five, I began to consider the possibility that these ideas are linked. God does indeed have a plan or space he wants us to pursue and fill it however we imagine it. That brings a real challenge. Are we listening to God's promptings that keep us on track, or is the world's noise being allowed to swamp his voice? Our prayer time plays a vital role in keeping us on track. Not to push the example too far, if we use sat-nav and ignore the instructions, our chances of ending at the correct destination are slim. Face-to-face time with God in prayer allows these Jeremiah kinds of conversations to take place. We can then expand to fill the space in the world that God has created for us, keeping to his path and working for him. The themes. Approach. Calm the jumble of thoughts in your head and open your mind to God's prompting. Confession. Bring before God your shortcomings and, asking forgiveness, pray that you will follow his path more closely. Thanksgiving. The ministry. give thanks for Dave Sutherland and his ministry with us. Pastor Renewal, give thanks for the encouragement to consider innovation and not be afraid for it to fail or need adjustment. The youth group, give thanks for the work done by young people from the three churches and their older mentors in getting this group underway. The magazine, give thanks for Catherine's work in compiling and editing this magazine for over 20 years. Outreach and mission, give thanks for Brian Devlin's appointment in priority area work. Intercession, prayer ministry, ask that prayer ministry will be refreshed and grow. Magazine editor, pray that the right person will be prompted to come forward to continue Catherine's work. Schools, pray that seed will be sown and bear fruit through renewed contact with the church. Also, pray for those about to face important exams in May and June. Stevenston, pray that God's word will be heard in the town and bring spiritual growth.
Catherine Burns tells us about the Advent service. On Sunday the 23rd of December, the fourth Sunday of Advent, the church was filled with members and visitors to witness the christening of Stuart and Rain Gibson's lovely little girl, Ailey. This was a very special occasion for the congregation, since christenings for us are rare. And to have a family who have travelled halfway around the world to have this service in our church added to the occasion. Adding to the event was a performance of Bethlehemian Rhapsody, performed by the Jam Club. This was a delight for everyone present. It was a puppet show accompanied by light-hearted and tuneful music, with the actions choreographed to the music. The performance brought a smile to everyone's face. Well done, Jam Club, and their inspiring and dedicated leader, Louisa Chisholm. The icing on the cake was tea and dainties supplied and served by the Jam Club. No end to their talents.
Kirk Session News. At our joint session conference in December, members of both sessions participated in workshops based on an instruction from Presbytery to consider and explore how the church would look within a five-year period. Elders worked in joint groupings to discuss points issued and give opinions. These were correlated and a joint submission made to Presbytery. These ideas, together with those from other churches, will form the basis of a Presbytery conference on the 9th of February. Six elders volunteered to attend. The joint Kirk sessions also met in January for a presentation on health and safety within churches from Brian Auld from the General Trustees of the Church of Scotland. This presentation highlighted the importance of health and safety now plays in the day-to-day life of the church and in the use of our premises. Health and safety is not simply the job of one person or the elders. It is a responsibility for every one of us and should be given careful consideration in everything we do within our buildings. This is the time of year when all our Kirk Session minutes, church roll and statistics, safeguarding register, accounts, baptismal roll and property register are approved by the session as correct. I then take them to Presbytery for formal inspection and attestation. At our last meeting, the Kirk Session received Catherine's resignation as magazine editor. We formally thanked her for her work as editor for 20 years. I would like to take the opportunity on behalf of the congregation to thank Catherine for her work in compiling the Livingston Herald. Thanks must also go to her husband John, who has ably and faithfully supported her in the production of an informative and quality magazine. We will no longer have an "oh no" moment each time she approaches us with a bit of paper in her hand. I hope that someone will feel moved to take on Catherine's role, as the magazine is an important part of communicating church life. This will become even more important in the coming years as our church and the church nationally faces great change. That's from Sandy Hershaw, the session clerk.
And now from Susan and Ken Gibson, we hear more about the baptism of their granddaughter. Sunday the 23rd of December was a very special day for our family. Our son Stuart and his wife Rain live in Singapore. In September, Rain gave birth to Ailey Huizing Gibson in Singapore General Hospital. We visited in October and were over the moon to be able to spend time with all three. Rain and Stuart asked us then if it would be possible to have Ailey baptised in Livingston Church when they came over for Christmas. We contacted Dave by WhatsApp video to ask about it. They then had a few conversations over the internet and a meeting when they came over. They were delighted to be able to present Ailey for baptism at the service on the 23rd of December. It was a beautiful service. Stuart and Rain are very grateful for the friendliness shown to them by the congregation and wish to thank Dave and the Jam Club for a very special service. On their return to Singapore, Ailey had another special celebration related to her Chinese roots. The 100 First Days is a traditional celebration that marks the end of the first 3 months of life for a new baby. The traditional Chinese believe that the first 100 days is when the baby and mum are most vulnerable to the elements, so they were advised to stay indoors to avoid illness. Another tale explains that in the days of yore, it was rare for a baby to survive the first 100 days, so when they did, it was a cause for celebration. While Chinese, Korean and Japanese families typically celebrate the first 100 days, in Singapore, some Chinese families celebrate their baby's first full month, otherwise known as the full moon. Essentially, the point of both celebrations is to celebrate the welcoming of a new baby into the family.
Jack and the Beanstalk. A big thank you to everyone for helping to make our 2018 pantomime a great success. The four-night sell-out run was once again exhausting, but extremely rewarding for all the cast. The brilliantly designed scenery and props helped to ensure that Jack and the Beanstalk was a pantomime to remember. The shop was busier than ever, so a special thank you to all who helped and to those who looked after the junior cast. Without your assistance, the pantomime simply wouldn't happen. Our new sound and lighting desk at the back of the hall enhanced the performances, and the new additions to the cast showcased their talents alongside our regular actors. A special mention must go to Brian Murray, who made his Livingston stage debut as the delightful Dame Trot. His beard was dyed pink for the performances, but he was unaware that the dye was semi-permanent. This led to many laughs as his brightly coloured facial hair remained for quite a while after the pantomime had finished. Everyone had great fun rehearsing and performing the pantomime, but you, the audience, are as much a part of the cast as the players themselves. Your attendance each year is invaluable, hopefully to enjoy a great night's entertainment, and of course enabling us to raise money for Christian Aid. Thank you all for playing your part in supporting us. Remember to check our website, www.livingstonplayers.org.uk, for details of our upcoming production. Preparations are already underway for our 2019 pantomime. Oh yes they are! And that's from the Livingston Players.
And now from Brenda Bendelow, we have a report on the Guild Burns celebrations for 2019. In recent years, it has become the custom of the Guild to celebrate our national poet Robert Burns, and this year was no exception. Our coordinator, Dorothy Penno, opened the proceedings with a verse from one of Burns' poems, and then we all sang There Was a Lad. Jean Patterson, whose birthday, like the Bard's, is on the 25th of January, recited the Selkirk Grace, after which we all had a very appetising meal of haggis, neeps and tatties. Cheese and biscuits, tablet and sweets were to follow. The loyal toast was drunk with our other national drink. Our next song was Coming Through the Rye. A really enjoyable DVD followed. This told the story of the life of Burns, his songs and poems, including Tam O'Shanter and To a Mouse, all read by an actor, Christopher Tate. He was dressed and made up to have a striking resemblance to Burns, and it gave the whole performance a very lifelike effect. Dorothy sang a lovely solo of John Anderson, My Joe, and we followed with Ye Banks and Braes. Sandra Erskine then recited Saw Ye Bonnie Leslie, which we all thought was very apt. Dorothy gave a short talk entitled What Was So Special About Burns? And this ranged from the Bard to other songwriters such as Irving Berlin, George Gershwin and Paul McCartney. The celebration was rounded off as usual with all of us joining hands for Auld Lang Syne. A very enjoyable afternoon was had by all. And a postscript. A couple of days after our meeting, it was reported on TV and by the National Trust that Burns Cottage at Alloway was in a very bad state and in need of repairs. The walls were cracking, the roof rotting and the chimney needed attention. £100,000 is needed to carry out these repairs. I wonder what Burns would have thought of his father's all clay biggin. And Surtees in Fair Virtue's Heavenly Road, the cottage leaves the palace far behind.
The following poem was written by the late sister-in-law of Jean Patterson. It's called Repose. Wearied, when the day was ended, I laid me down in bed to sleep, when suddenly a voice, a whisper of the commandments I should keep. I pondered, should I pray? Should I be obedient? Then, as I opened my eyes, it was yet another day. The world is so turbulent, so distracting to the mind, that somehow on life's journey we are too busy to be kind. Help me, Lord, to be diligent in everything I do, and to endure my trials in life to prove my love for you. Now another day has ended, and as I kneel before the Lord, I'll ask him to forgive me, then I'll read his holy word. By Margaret Hamilton.
A letter of thanks from Louise Cast on behalf of everyone at the Ardrossan team support workers. Dear Mr. Hershaw and congregation of Livingston Parish Church, we hope you had a good Christmas and Happy New Year. We here at the Ardrossan Area Office would like to convey a grateful thanks for the wonderful Christmas gifts and donations received from you in 2018. Every year we have been overwhelmed by the generosity of your church. In 2018 we were able to reach out and support over 160 children within the North Ayrshire area. Without your generosity, we would not have been able to assist the families we support in having a Christmas they enjoyed and remembered. As a team, we spent the year raising funds to put towards the Family Christmas Dinner Fund, so we could provide each family we support with a Christmas chicken dinner. And thanks again to the generosity we received from the parish, we were able to provide families with this and with gifts. We hope that we are able to provide the same service to the families within North Ayrshire in 2019. We wish you all the very best for 2019.
Fabric report. The gents' toilet. There was a lot of flaky paint in the toilet. This was sanded off. The walls had been prepared with PVA glue and the toilet painted. The wall next to the passage was also showing some flaky paint. This was removed and the wall painted. Cupboards. New labels were obtained and fitted to the small hall cupboards. Bookcase. The one in the small hall has been dismantled and removed. Kitchen kettle. Recently at the badminton club, there was some noise coming from the kettle after it had been switched off. It was decided there was a fault with the kettle switch. As a result of this, a new kettle has been purchased. And that's from Arthur Taylor.
The Rainbow Report from their leader, Gillian McDade. The Rainbow session started on Thursday, September the 6th. We meet in Livingston Church's Lesser Hall from 6pm to 7pm weekly. We have been fortunate to have a full complement of 10 girls, with a waiting list of girls wanting to join when the space becomes available. Our girls are 5 and 6 years old, moving up to Brownies on their 7th birthday following their Pot of Gold celebration party. At Rainbows, we sing our welcome song every week and share our news. The girls love to play games and can earn badges by participating in our new programme. So far this session, we have worked under the theme of Know Yourself, and our meeting activities involve building the skills to reflect and network. These are themes that continue throughout the girls' guiding experiences in both Brownies and Guides. We also enjoy celebrating seasonal events together, attending Livingston Players Pantomime, and a visit from Santa to our Christmas party have been among the highlights so far this session. Our girls make a promise to be kind and helpful, and in this spirit they all make great friends for each other. We look forward to more fun and adventures in this new year. And a couple of jokes that the Rainbows would like. What do you give a sick bird? Tweetment. Why can't a duck fly upside down? Because he'd quack up. Which bird lifts the heaviest weight? The crane. And Pat Gray included this report on the Brownies. Our session began on Thursday the 6th of September and our numbers have increased to 26. We are constantly recruiting girls from the Rainbow Group, as well as a few who come in new to guiding. Our first outing this year was to Stevenson Library, where as a group the girls worked for their computing badge. The librarian tested four girls for their book lovers badge, and during this session some will work in groups on hostess, entertainer, disability awareness and home skills. There are many badges the girls work on as individuals, such as artist, cook, swimmer, dancer and sports, as well as a few less common ones such as science investigator, culture and gardener. As is usual, we've not spent all the time working. In October, we enjoyed a princess party and Disney quiz. In November, we celebrated St Andrew's Night with country dancing, and we have to thank Mrs Reed for giving up her time to come along and lead us in the dances. We also enjoyed some traditional Scottish fare, and it must be admitted that anything involving food is always a great success for the Brownies. On the 6th of December, we attended the panto performed by the Livingston Players. Our last meeting of the session before Christmas was at Bonnie Leslie Court, where we entertained the residents with a nativity play, party games, a visit from Santa and supper. Our current session began on the 10th of January, and on the 31st we had a joint Burns supper with Kilwinning Cubs. Both Brownies and Cubs worked very hard and the entertainment was excellent. Many thanks to Akela, Mrs. Taylor, and her team for hosting this for us. Before we finish at the end of May, we have several other celebrations and outings to enjoy.
The Finance Report. I have just completed the accounts for 2018 and they will be included in the annual report available at the SGM for the congregation, so I won't go through them in any great detail here. The highlights are: the general fund balance is £2,470 compared with a negative of £6,428 last year, a considerable improvement. The fabric fund balance, £5,701, is down compared to last year due to more demands on the fund, particularly the heating system. The designated funds made up of various sources like Mission and Livingston Players are much the same as last year. The restricted funds, likewise, are much the same, as most of the money going in, like from the Harvest Service, goes straight back out to the nominated charity. The value of our investments has dropped slightly this year, mainly because we had to sell 1,000 units to keep the bank balance afloat. Fortunately, we have come through that crisis. The bank balance at the end of the year was £14,700. Remember that this is the high point of the balance cycle, as we do not have M&M in December, and the balance from the Livingston Players is still in the bank. Nevertheless, it is a better position than we were in at this time last year. It would not be a proper report if there were not some negatives to consider. Collections and donations were down compared to last year. Despite the event in October last year, the overall response in terms of increased giving has not been evident. Some members made very generous increases in their donations, but the vast majority have made no change. Circumstances may have forced this decision, but I would still urge everyone to consider their regular giving and gift aid, if it's possible. Next year, our M&M contribution will be at £3,300 per month, compared to £2,900 this past year. £400 per month extra is a lot to find and represents a challenge we have to face. We still have possibly large fabric bills in the near future, and the union with Ardeer will have associated expenses. We have had a good year financially, and I thank the members for their support and encouragement. And if you have any queries about the church's finances in general or the accounts in particular, just ask me. The team will be in the counting room every Sunday, and that's from Finlay Kerr, our treasurer.
The Church Diary for Holy Week and Easter Services. Sunday, the 14th of April, is Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday. 10 a.m. at Ardeer and 11:30 a.m. at Livingston. And then 3 p.m. Three Towns Nursing Home Easter Praise. 5 p.m. is a unity service. It's Messy Church in Hayek's Community Centre. Monday the 15th of April. 12:15 p.m. Easter Reflections in Highkirk Halls. Free lunch included. 7 p.m. Evening Worship at Ardeer. Tuesday, the 16th of April, 12:15 p.m. Easter Reflections, Highkirk Halls, free lunch included, 7 p.m. Evening Worship, Livingston. Wednesday, the 17th of April, 12:15 p.m. Easter Reflections, Highkirk Halls, free lunch, 7 p.m. Evening Worship, Our Dear. Thursday, the 18th of April, 12:15 p.m. Easter Reflections, Highkirk Halls, with lunch, 7 p.m. Maundy Thursday at Livingston Church will be the celebration of the Sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Friday, the 19th of April, a change here, 7:30 p.m. Good Friday, Highkirk. Saturday, the 20th of April, 7:30 p.m. in the Highkirk Manse. And Easter Sunday, Sunday the 21st of April, 7 a.m. dawn sunrise service at Stevenston Point. And that will be in Our Dear Church if the weather is bad. Followed at 8 a.m. by breakfast at Our Dear Church Hall. And then 10:30 a.m. Easter Day shared worship in Our Dear Church.
There's a final message from Catherine Reid at the end of the magazine. My thanks to all who have contributed to this edition. Also a special thanks to all those who have supported me in many different ways in my role as magazine editor during the last 20 years. And as an addition which is not in the magazine, Anne and I would like to thank Catherine and John personally because of all the work they've done and made our life so much easier doing this oral version of it. Goodbye.